Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, it's always wonderful that we can gather to worship and wrestle with the Word of God together as we continue our series in the Gospel of Luke. My title tonight is Jesus Begins His Ministry in Galilee. And we're going to look at a section probably around chapter 4, verse 16, right through to 5, verse 16. So if you've got a Bible, open that up because it's quite a large section. We're just going to overview that. And as we dive into this scripture tonight, we're beginning to answer a question. And this question is, what does the good news of the kingdom of God look like? And that's what we really want to wrestle with tonight. Mel and I, with a couple of others, we were at a very special meeting the other night, a very special event called Love Ukraine, as we're praying for the situation there. And often what happens at these kinds of events, we meet other leaders and occasionally they'll ask Mel and I, hey, what is Livestreams Carawarra and the associated churches all about? I often go to my vision, or our vision, I should say, which is creating a family of dynamic churches, transforming people and communities in Christ. And often the response is, wow, that sounds pretty nice. And then I often really sort of dig a bit deeper into this transformation, this gospel transformation, and begin to talk about the people that we have been impacting by God's grace, the economically diverse, the poor and the rich, the spiritually poor, the blind. We've met many people living in disadvantage, many people of different cultures. Actually, our last count was about 20 different cultures, ministering to refugees, those in prison, children whose parents are in prison, the orphans, the widows, the homeless, and also those who might be considered by themselves to be demonically oppressed. And it's wonderful to see such gospel transformation in many men, women, and children we are reaching in Jesus' name. And often they go, wow, that sounds wonderful. Praise God. It sounds like you're having a wonderful success. To which I normally say, yes and no, because there are many occasions and settings where we're constantly reminded about that the kingdom of God still needs to advance. There's still much more work to do. I remember this one gentleman, for instance, and for anonymity's sake, I'm going to call him Henry. And our gospel work with Henry was, how do I say it, probably a little bit hit and miss. A few years ago, he came in, it was obvious he was on drugs, he was suffering depression, and he said, in his own words, I'm being agitated by demonic forces. And we would pray for him, but only would he get a temporary relief. It never changed him. It never transformed his life, and he was never able to break away from the powers of evil that were plaguing him. It was a heartache. Whenever we would see him, and his story, you know, is but one of many, where we might ask the question, Lord, are we hitting the mark? Are we actually making a difference in people's lives? And these things bring heartache to our very hearts. And in the midst of troubling ministry or tough seasons serving the kingdom of God, you know, it's so important that we maintain focus. And I've always found it very helpful to revisit how Jesus went about his work. And so in this text before us today, we see two of what I will call kingdom anchor points that are continually repeated aspects in the ministry of Jesus. I liken this to Spotify. If you have the Spotify app, you can hit play. And if you really like that track, there's a little button that says enable repeat, and it will keep the track playing over and over and over again. And so likewise, these two kingdom anchor points, which I'm about to share with you, are repeated right throughout the gospel in the ministry of Jesus over and over and over again. So here's the first of two kingdom anchor points. The first one is the proclamation of the good news. No matter what happens in the life of Jesus, this is one of Jesus' unwavering goals. Luke 4 verse 18, being a direct quotation of Isaiah 61, says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Jesus goes on in verse 19 to share how the good news will be outworked. "He has sent me," he says, "to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And just from those verses, we begin to get an idea of what the good news of Jesus Christ looks like in practice. Now, shortly after this, Jesus states in chapter 4, verse 21 of the Gospel of Luke, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, when we hear that word "today," Jesus is not referring to an actual day of the week, but rather Jesus is saying that the messianic age, or the kingdom of God, has now begun and has been realized in the coming of the Savior Jesus Christ. That's really important for each and every one of us because, you know, you and I right now, this is very exciting. We are living in the age of the reign of the kingdom of God. Now, we may not see that all the time across the earth or in our local societies, but we are living in the age of the kingdom, and that will be fully realized at the second coming of Christ. That's a guarantee. And for Jesus, the gospel and the kingdom go together. Luke 4 verse 43 says, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And that's what he does. He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And so when we think about the kingdom of God, it's always about the reign of the King, King Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. And this is such a priority for Jesus that 37 times in the Gospel of Luke will he be preaching on the kingdom of God. And here's my first point, friends. Number one, we must prioritize the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. We must prioritize the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the first anchor point. Here's the second kingdom anchor point, and it's all around the place and practice of prayer in the life of Jesus. Two scriptures here, Luke 4, verse 42. "Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place to pray." We know he was did this very often. "And the crowd searched everywhere for him." Luke 5, verse 15 to 16. "But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster." That was after the healing of a leprous man. "And then vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." You know, Jesus is in the midst of a busy and successful ministry campaign. His popularity was growing by the minute. But any chance Jesus could get, he would choose time to be with his Father. And here's my second point, friends. Choose intimacy with Christ despite the demands of others. Choose intimacy with Christ despite the demands of others. You know, Jesus chooses intimacy rather than giving in to the expectations of the crowd. And so there you have it. There are two kingdom anchor points placed on repeat right throughout the gospel, and that its prioritization to our life is absolutely essential. And Jesus sets the example, and wherever he went, he made sure everyone had opportunity to hear the good news. But have you noticed something? Not everyone appreciates or even likes the good news. John Calvin, who's a French theologian, said this: "Since no man is excluded from calling upon God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There is nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief, that should have said. And in our text tonight, this is the case for Jesus. From chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus in the setting of his own hometown in Nazareth, and after declaring that he is the fulfillment of the messianic expectations, and then he's quoted Isaiah 61, we shared that before, we're told in verse 22 that despite all people who spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, they were unable to reconcile any of this because Jesus, this is, we know he's the son of Joseph, they were saying. And we've watched him grow up in our community. And in response, Jesus quotes several things to his family and friends. First, a Jewish saying in verse 23, he says, "You probably expect me to say, physician, heal myself." And then he quotes two Old Testament prophets, first one being Elijah, and upsetting where he heals only one widow in a 3.5 year period. And it's really important, that particular widow was a Gentile woman, meaning a non-Jewish person. And then the other prophet was Elisha in verse 27. He heals a Syrian commander, Naaman, of leprosy. And guess what? He's a Gentile as well. And he was saying and indicating that Israel as a whole failed to recognize the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, who consequently went to the Gentiles instead. And similarly, that this Nazareth audience were no different to them because they were failing to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Now, friends, it got a bit heated at that moment. You know, the crowd was absolutely infuriated. They grabbed Jesus, they drove him out of town, and they were basically going to throw him down the cliff to his death. But Jesus, he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Friends, this is my third point I want to make very clear. If some rejected Jesus, some will also reject us. If some rejected Jesus, some will also reject us. There's no easy way to get around that except to say that rejection is part and parcel of the gospel ministry. You know, I remember a brother and I, we were visiting different parts of Karawara and were very nervous one day going into a particular part of Karawara that we knew there was a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, a lot of strife, a lot of people living in disadvantage and really struggling with life. And upon entering this place, there were lots of people there. And they began to swear at us, even into our face. And it was very confronting, very intimidating. And, you know, we were very nervous about that. Until one lady came out and said, "Hey, stop doing this. These are our brothers. This is our pastor in the area." And that was very comforting. And I remember just feeling that sense of rejection from the people then, back then. We prayed for one lady for her foot to be healed. And actually, she did get healed and come to Christ. But that was really the only one. And it was really, really difficult. But know this. While some will reject us, others will accept. And some did that day and have since, which is wonderful. And we notice in this scripture that Christ moves on pretty quickly from those who reject him and his message. And he continues his message on to those who will accept the gospel. And so as we look at chapter 4, verse 31, and also chapter 5, verse 12 onwards, what follows are four miracle stories. If you're really into stats in the Gospel of Luke, there are 21 miracle stories. You know, Jesus was amazing in the way he powerfully healed people. And so the four miracle stories before us tonight is first the healing of a man with an unclean demon. That's chapter 4, verse 31 onwards. And then from verse 38, Simon's mother-in-law is also healed, where Jesus just goes in and rebukes the fever. And then the cleansing of the leper, Jesus does in chapter 5, verse 12 onwards. But what we see is that Jesus heals many from verse 40 of chapter 4. It says this, "At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah." You know, this is wonderful news. Jesus is able to heal every infirmity. He's able to heal every sickness, no matter what it is. And it's so good to be reminded of that, friends, particularly when we're going through a particular health crisis, maybe personally, or we know someone, one of our friends, or some family member that we really love going through that. Jesus is able to heal every disease. Hallelujah. You know, this is wonderful scripture in Acts chapter 14, verse 3, where Paul and Barnabas are serving the Lord. They're preaching the gospel. And it says in verse 3, chapter 14 of Acts, the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. Jesus heals every disease. The secondly, Jesus has all authority over all evil spirits. And he's able to immediately cast out any spirit, even at the drop of a few words. What authority? But notice here that Luke makes a distinction between the healing of a physical disease and demonic activity. This suggests that not all physical health complaints are actually caused by the enemy. Occasionally they are, we know that is the case, but my experience suggests also that they can often be two different things. But this is the point I want to make. It's point four. Jesus takes time out to heal personal need, and so must we. Let me repeat that. Jesus takes time out to heal personal need, and so must we, friends. I remember early one sort of morning, about 1 a.m., I got a call and I was asked to come to the hospital to pray for a lady who was actually 6 to 7 months pregnant. And she had just been involved in a car accident and the bottom part of the seatbelt had cut off the blood supply to the baby. So the baby was hardly registering a heartbeat. The doctors were very concerned. They wanted to deliver the baby immediately by C-section. And the mum was just distraught. She didn't know what to do. You know, chances of survival of this baby were very, very much limited and most likely nil. So we went in there and there was another lady who was there and we just didn't know how to pray. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. He helps us in our weaknesses. And we said, well, to the mum, can you just place your hands on your baby and lay hands on your baby? We'll just put a hand on your shoulder. We just begin to pray for the power of Jesus and the wisdom of God to be revealed in Jesus' name. It was very short, very small type prayer. And when we finished that praying, the mum said, I now know what to do. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, when we were praying, I felt the baby kick 3 times. And they were very strong kicks. And I felt like that was a sign from the Lord, she said. And I know what to do. I'm keeping this baby. I'm going to trust the Lord to raise this baby up and heal this baby in Jesus' name. Well, you know, a few months later, she delivered a perfect, healthy little boy. And we were all rejoicing. Probably 6 months to a year later, we did a dedication of the baby. She told her testimony and said, God raised my child from the dead. How good is that? So wonderful that God heals in Jesus' name. So friends, my fourth point there, Jesus takes time out to heal personal need, and so must we. All right, I hope you're still with me because we want to dive into our final section here, which is Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. But let me say this first. You know, so far we see people are astonished at the ministry of Jesus. In verse 22, though, it's not enough to marvel at the gracious words of Jesus. It's not enough to be amazed at his teaching. We saw that in verse 4:32, where he was in Capernaum. And it's not even enough to be amazed at his healing power. Chapter 4, verse 36, they were all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. It's not enough to be amazed at the healing power of Jesus. It must always lead, friends, to the humbling of ourselves in our own ongoing commitment to follow Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And so in Luke 5, Jesus does another outstanding miracle where Peter and his colleagues were fishing all night, which I'm told, by the way, that's the best time to fish. And they caught nothing, basically. And Jesus says to Peter the next day, put out into deeper waters, and they catch such a big haul of fish that it fills two boats to the point of sinking. And Peter's response is both one of amazement and absolute humility at the same time. Luke 5, verse 8 to 11 says this. Peter says to Jesus, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Now, Peter knew the state of his own heart, and he just witnessed the glory of Christ. But Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And when the men brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. You know, that moment on that shoreline changed Peter's life forever. Jesus overlooked Peter's offences, and he even changed the trajectory of Peter's life. He was set free to begin that journey, and Peter would fast become a great proclaimer of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And friends, this is my final point tonight that I really want you to hear, and it's this. Jesus wants to set people free. Oh, that's such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Jesus wants to set people free. And Jesus is still in the business of setting people free today. And he wants to set people free of physical illness. He wants to set people free from demonic attacks. And you know what else he does? He wants to set people free from a mediocre existence, calling them into the life and power of Christ. And ultimately, he does set people free as we follow Jesus in full obedience, who laid down his life so that we might have life and have it to the full. Friends, let me ask some questions right now to reflect on. Here's the first one. Have you been putting Jesus at a distance? You know, perhaps figuratively placing that fence around your own heart, not letting God in. Well, you know, perhaps the time is right now to humbly fall to your knees and submit to the authority of Christ and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. If that's you, please, I want to encourage you to do that because the time is short and today is the day of salvation. Secondly, do some of us need healing today? I want to encourage you to reach out to the Lord, but reach out to another brother and sister and ask for prayer. And if you know of someone who needs healing from the Lord, perhaps it's time to step out in faith and make time to go to that person in the power of the Holy Spirit and to pray, trusting God to heal. Ultimately, we all need to follow him and obey his word, for that is where true freedom is found. Jesus wants to set people free, and I believe he wants to continue to do that through Karawara and all of our Life Streams churches. You know, I wonder if you remember the story back in 2010 of the Chilean miners who were trapped underground. About 33 men were trapped in a mine collapse about a kilometre down below the surface for over 2 months, about 69 days. And in an article from the CNN as well as ChristianTogether.net, they quote this. In an operation which has been termed miraculous by the engineering experts involved, even the secular media reports of the rescue of 33 Chilean miners touched on the tremendous story within the story. On the hearing of the plight of the trapped miners, the Reverend Alfredo Cooper, who is chaplain in the presidential palace, quickly put together an emergency prayer meeting. 17 days they prayed straight. And then the miracle came when the boring machine glanced off a rock, hit the cavern they were in, and of course, when we heard the news, we just erupted in praise. During their time underground, one of the entombed miners was a guy by the name of Jose Henriquez. He was an evangelical preacher. And he asked for 33 Bibles to be sent down to the miners in a small capsule. And the miners then began to pray twice a day, 12 noon and 6 o'clock in the evening. Food, medicine, and messages from the family were also sent down the shaft, but it was when they each received their own small Bible that this began to change the men, and it became even more profound. Henriquez says the Bible study and preaching of the word began to change lives, as it always does. The extent of the change was so apparent that the miners' wives started to testify that their husbands were no longer swearing at them, but instead trying to preach to them. And so by the end of the ordeal, 22 of the miners received Jesus as their saviour. Eventually, all 33 miners were saved and brought safely to the surface. And many of the miners went down as atheists or unbelievers or semi-believers, put it that way, and they came up to a man testifying that there were not 33 down there, but there were 34 down there, saying Jesus was the 34th miner, that Jesus was there with them, his constant sense of his presence and guidance, and he was there setting them free, not only from the physical entombment of that mine, but setting them free spiritually to enjoy eternal life. Jesus not only set them free from the miry pit where they were trapped, but he set many of them spiritually free in Jesus' name. Oh, friends, Jesus wants to set people free. He wants you and I to live in complete freedom. That comes about by obeying his word and living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So this week, will you ponder these thoughts? Will you encourage others to do the same and really step out in faith to see others set free and to help them find and follow Jesus? Let's just say a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have set us free from the bondages and the chains of death and the things that hold us back through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for each and every one of us. And Lord, this week, would you give us opportunity to exercise great faith in Jesus' name, not from our own strength, not for our own glory, but in the strength of Christ and for the glory of God, that we would exercise great faith in praying for people to be healed, people to be set free from demonic forces, people to be set free to follow Jesus as Lord. Lord, help us with this matter. Encourage us in these things, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.